Coming up on Patriots This Week.
It was a great crowd tonight. It was a lot of energy. It was a great stadium, great environment.
This atmosphere was awesome.
10 days on the road had the Patriots sounding like tourists.
That was a great experience.
Thankfully, there was one player with his eyes on the prize.
It was basically a business trip.
The Patriots cooked up a game plan to dismantle the Raiders and turned an AFC battle into an international mismatch.
Adios to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
We met all the challenges that we needed to meet head on.
Grateful for two big wins and a Thanksgiving homecoming, even Gronk allowed himself to let loose.
It was just a fiesta all over the field.
That's better, and that's right now on Patriots This Week.
10 days, three cities, two countries, and two Patriots wins as New England wins 13 in a row on the road to set a franchise record. And head coach Bill Belichick now all by his lonesome in third place among the winningest all-time head coaches with career win number 271. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with Scott Zolak, my radio partner from 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Matt Chatham, Patriots linebacker and special teams ace in the day, three-time Super Bowl champion. We open with a mouthful, and the Patriots accomplished a lot. They spent time at altitude, and the work paid off.
Well, I think, you hear Coach at the end of the game, meaning the Raiders game, and he said, guys, that's a tribute to you and your approach. And I think it was a different approach that they took than obviously what the Raiders did. They were serious. They went to the academy. Bill, with his Navy background, Bob, you're a Navy guy. You understand all that. And I think, it makes you focus a little more. You're around it, the organizational activities, the planes flying overhead, the cadets meeting with them, and everything's in order. And it almost makes you, and the way you take on your day, be in order. I guess they got up every day early, right? Mm-hmm. 6:30, wake up, call meetings. And it sort of resets you in the middle of the year. And I think it's the perfect setup. You go into Denver, and we looked at that gauntlet, meaning 5 of the 6 on the road prior to the start of the season. They said that was going to be that death march for this team. This may be the easiest 6 games until Pittsburgh that this team may play. And I thought the Patriots played their best game of the year.
I think we understand that this team is going someplace that Oakland team is not. And I think this sort of served a greater purpose than just winning these games. It's practice. That's playoff game practice. That's a practice of going away as a team to a Super Bowl venue. Now, again, I know he's not doing it particularly to that purpose, but the idea that you get the bond, you get to go away, you get on a little, the red sheet, they call it, the old itinerary here, where you're on a very strict regimen where you kind of feels like a hotel lobby at a Super Bowl kind of feel.
You know what? So
you go to a different place and get ready.
And let's talk about the foresight of the Patriots. Back-to-back games at altitude, so they stay out in Colorado, practice at the Air Force Academy, as you noted. Oakland had a bye. Now, the Raiders would have taken expense and effort. They could have gone off-site and tried to practice in preparation for Mexico City, perhaps at a higher altitude. The Patriots come out. They start up tempo on offense. Brady's 12 for 12, and the Raiders were gassed by the middle of that first series.
Well, I think the interesting thing here is that they had had success doing that approach before. Worked against Houston, but things that work against Houston don't necessarily work against the Patriots. And you mentioned the start. I thought that was probably the most phenomenal thing. As you guys are calling the game, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're 8 completions in, 9 completions in, 11, 12. Good Lord, this guy's 4 years old.
Raiders were dead 4 to 5. They had their hands on their hips and were bent over 4 to 5 plays into that game.
Yeah.
They had guys tapping out.
And the 13th incompletion, guys, it's not like it was, a first mistake. It was a 60-yard bomb that was overthrown. So, I mean, we're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback that walked into this venue at the end of that stretch and put him to bed early. I mean, it was pretty impressive.
That's what he's talking about, the 40-year-old. You ever think that he's close to leaving or going away from the game of football, you're nuts, because that's the intensity. And I thought Brady, the 3rd and goal at the 5, where I thought he had a pretty good matchup with Gronk to the right because there was only one safety. He calls timeout, burns the timeout, goes to the sideline, calmly comes back to the huddle. They're back in the gun. Still doesn't like what he sees, so he changes the formation to the left. Changes the play twice to the right. Right before the snap, he sees something. He goes, hey, Danny Amendola, give me one of these here. And he's blatantly calling the play in front of the safeties are like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And then he gets pressure, slides up, waits, hits Amendola. That's a microcosm of the Patriots. See, that is what they are.
Yeah.
The ability to see something, adjust.
He directed the whole thing.
And I don't mean to bring the Garoppolo thing in. Garoppolo couldn't do that. I don't think 31 other quarterbacks could do that. Right. Maybe Drew Brees, maybe Aaron Rodgers. Right. And that's a big maybe because I think they play street ball, those two guys. But I appreciate what you're seeing with Brady, folks, because he's at the top of his game right now.
Once again, a clean game for the Patriots. Mentioned the fumble by Burkhead that New England recovered. In between those two touchdowns, an interception caused by Jonathan Jones with Daron Harmon there off the deflection. Yep. Patriots come out of that game plus two in the turnover differential. Jones involved in both of those takeaways.
Yeah, one of the things I like there, and Coach Belichick has spent a lot of time the last couple of years with us in preseasons describing the technique that a defensive back has to use when he's out of phase, in phase, whether or not you look back, whether you do look back. It's complex, folks. You're sitting at home and you're wondering why they don't look back at sometimes. Jonathan Jones played that perfectly. He was in the pocket. He timed it. He went up through. If he had looked back, you know, he loses half a stride. Maybe he's off half a yard from where he ends up being. That thing strikes him right in the back of the helmet without him contacting the receiver. Volleyballs it in the air. Daron Harmon makes the play. That to me was just, wow, I've heard Bill enumerate that, and he did it exactly as he's told. So this guy's taking coaching.
Think about the entire year. You remember the Saints game, you know, Malcolm punching a ball out on the first series there. Think of Austin Safari-Jenkins, where it looks like he's going to score, and if he can't make the tackle, do something to dislodge the ball. Yeah. They practice, they teach the dislodgement of the football. This defense is coming together.
And remarkably, eight times now, seven in a row, the Patriots score in the last minute of the first half, and then in their patented way, they come out and start the second half with a quick strike break. Brady to Cooks.
Yeah, and it's their ability to score at the end of the first half is massive. Think about what they've been able to do with what they've been handed. Four tight end set until Hogan comes back. Now you get the rumors that, or the thought process that maybe Malcolm Mitchell is going to give you something here at the end.
Yes.
They're not completely healthy yet. Still didn't have Cannon in that game. You had Waddle go down. You had Cam Fleming step in.
Right.
Their ability to adjust with whoever is in there and be unselfish is why this offense is really jamming now.
And Matt, talking about the offensive line, no David Andrews at center. How did Ted Karras do?
Just like we thought he'd do. I thought he did great.
Two pancakes.
Couple pancakes. Yeah. He's out there nasty on the second level. One of the things that helps, I think, the matchup with the Raiders is nice because they played enough four-man line where if you're the center, you're uncovered, right? And so it's a little tough if you're going to come in and play a position. You didn't play collegiately. He certainly worked on it. He gets preseason snaps and he gets practice snaps at it. But if you're going to have to play center and you've got, say, Ted Washington or Vince over you every snap, you know, 6 inches from your nose, that's a little different than an uncovered center where you snap it and you clean pockets. You go clear off the guard. You go clean out pockets like that. You get out in space and run block and stuff like that. It was a perfect week for him. He did an excellent job. I think they're in good hands.
You know what's funny about Karras, too? You hear Belichick talk about him after the game. Nobody works harder. Nobody's at the building earlier or later. Does Brady hear this? Does McCourty hear this? He said about Bruschi, about Troy Brown. You know, keep going. Now we got Teddy Karras.
I think you got a lot of guys tied for the hardest worker in that locker room. But nobody works harder than all of them. Now, Stephon Gilmore, cornerback, Malcolm Butler. Good job frustrating those two receivers, Crabtree and Cooper and Derek Carr. And Gilmore sticking his nose in there in the running game.
Yeah, I thought that was good, you know, coming up and sticking Lynch. And he had a pretty nasty tackle on Crabtree coming across the middle, too, where the ball ended up coming out. So Gilmore's ability to get physical and get aggressive, I think it's starting to trend in the right direction.
So the Patriots come off this road trip full of highs, and within a day back in Foxborough, we get some terrible news. Former teammate Terry Glenn dies in an accident.
Terry Glenn, by far, and this is no disrespect to anybody out there, played with Troy Brown, played with Vincent Brisby, Ben Coates, Curtis Martin. Terry was the best receiver from a skill standpoint that I ever played with. His ability to not show, and Matt, you know this is a defender, when you lean one way or the other and your weight's going, you can get a read on people. He was so steady, so smooth. His feet were so quick, and he plucked the football. And it never came together for him here, but he had a hell of a rookie year, man.
Yeah.
Took us right to the Super Bowl, over 1,000 yards, the targets, the amount of catches. It's sad. It's sad what happened. I, you know, friend.
And when I walked into this locker room, I'm coming here in 2000. I'm a young guy. I'm another end of the locker room than Terry Glenn. Most of the best conversations I've really had with Terry in my life is as an alumni. He's a great guy, really good family dude, really into his world. But he was not a guy who was gregarious. He wasn't outgoing in a locker room. You see all sorts of different personalities. But that you didn't know the real Terry Glenn necessarily in football. You got to learn about him a lot off
sad
the field.
Sad I didn't get to see him last year.
It's sad that his family lost her
father. You talk about the alumni stuff. And there's a section where the alumni sit and watch a game together and that. And there were random people that told me Terry came back for two games last year and just hung out up in the club by himself. But that's Terry in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's a quiet kid. He wouldn't want anybody to know he was there, and he just wanted to come enjoy the game and watch football.
And from a football standpoint, he'll always be remembered for the Bledsoe pass on the first play against the Steelers. And of course, he was the first of the 68 different Patriots to receive a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. We'll be back with more right after this.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Brandon Cooks.
It's easy to see why the Patriots coveted the blazing wide receiver. The 5'10", 189-pound wideout torched the Raiders' secondary for 149 yards, including a back-breaking 64-yarder to open the second half that put the game out of reach. The 24-year-old already owned one of the highlights of the season with his game-winning TD catch against the Texans. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue with a look around the NFL, and we'll start in Buffalo, where a few weeks ago the Bills were really a pleasant surprise. They go to the Jets, they get beat, and now they're spiraling. They make a quarterback change. Tyrod Taylor replaced by Peterman. And he throws five interceptions by the halftime.
This is a shame because Tyrod Taylor, and I know he had a bad game before he got benched, he's the best quarterback on the roster. Right. You're a brand new head coach there. You're in there. You're trying to make your mark there. And I granted they're playing football a little bit better, better together. When you make that move and you sit that starter, and that starter has been there for a while, and that starter probably has the locker room, and if this move doesn't work, you can't immediately go back to that starter because then you lose your team. That guy's on the verge of losing his football team after they were 5-2.
You could ruin a player that just simply wasn't ready to be out there. It's not about Peterman versus Tyrod Taylor. It's if they had prepared him properly. They threw that kid out there for slaughter. He just didn't look like a guy who was ready to read an NFL defense. So now you've ruined him, and Zoe makes a good point. The idea that you could lose a locker room there, especially when Tyrod comes back in the second half and leads him to a couple scoring drives. So
they played the Chargers,
right? They've sabotaged them.
That guy on the other side could sling it. So you wanted to take a kid in his first start and get a slinging match with Phillip Rivers? This league is dumb.
And speaking of the Chargers, we talked about them a few weeks ago. They're surging. They're to be watched in the AFC West while the Broncos are plummeting. They've lost six in a row. Yeah. They've had a revolving door quarterback and now, of course, an offensive coordinator.
It's sad because I think the Broncos have the most talent of anybody in that division. Problem is no quarterback. They should have kept Wade Phillips, and they should have brought in a good offensive guy. Broncos are dead. Kansas City's trending in the wrong direction. They're going down. I'm shocked the Raiders didn't give you more the other day because we knew going into that game at kickoff that Kansas City lost to the Giants, and that's the effort the Raiders gave you.
Talk about losing a locker room. John Elway said the Broncos were soft. Some of the players seemed to more than intimate that it might be a result of personnel decisions.
Yeah, you shouldn't go there when you're a Hall of Fame quarterback yourself and you've cycled through several. You drafted Osweiler. Right? You drafted Trevor Siemian. You drafted the kid from Memphis who's now sitting on the bench as a third. You know, maybe now he's going to get his option. But you only won with Peyton Manning in his twilight. I don't think him calling out when that defense is looking like an exhausted group.
Don't cut TJ Ward.
Yeah, you go back out there and say soft. They're not going to take that well because they know they're playing a high rep count. They're carrying the team. And part of the issues is the position you're supposed to evaluate best, you whiffed on.
All right, no Don Banks this week, but you guys fill in admirably. We'll come back and talk about the Miami Dolphins right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. We're going to take a look at a guy that I think is the number one hitman. And I say hitman because that's a derogatory term. Dominick Sue. Now, why do I say he's a hitman? Well, not only can he wreck your entire game this weekend against Miami, take a look at him in the middle, controls the whole middle, the line of scrimmage. Watch this wall. His ability to find a ball carry, double down. Not only can he wreck your game, he can wreck your season by hitting your quarterback. Here, again, boom, totally disruptive. If one of these mistakes up front by a center, a guard, a missed call, and he rolls Brady's legs, we got big problems. Here he is here. Watch this, coming down. Grabs the arm of the quarterback, falls out. Your season, your ability to move forward and get ready for the playoffs depends on Tom Brady's health. Make sure you block number 93 in Dominick Sue.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue with the Patriots this week, and now the Pats really begin a stretch of 5 of 6 against the AFC East. They started at home against the Miami Dolphins, a team struggling, having lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, and they've had some personnel problems, you know, throughout the course of this year. They traded J.H.I.E., a running back that I thought could be a big part of their future.
Sure.
You know, this is a big one for Adam Gase because he had him trending in the right direction. They had the personnel on defense, I think, to match up with New England, and they would make things problematic for him. I'm concerned about this game because of hits after the whistle. And I think, you know, going in, Josh has got to be aware of maybe we don't want the quarterback holding the ball too long. Maybe we don't want to hang a receiver out if there's a Kiko Alonso in the area. So there are ways you got to go out, beat Miami, but yet protect yourself, if that makes sense. I'm worried about bad hits, late hits on vulnerable players.
I think the real issue here for me is holding down a group that's super talented but way underperforming. If you look at that team on paper, obviously it's not Tannehill. You make a good point, Jay's not there. But Devontae Parker, who's missed time, is like a prodigy. He's like a guy that could be a guy 2-3 years from now. But with Jay and with Matt Moore, they got great talent. Kenny Stills is out there making plays. He's over 150 yards a few times this year. Guys that can be a game breaker that you kind of forget about. And then obviously Landry, as Zoe mentioned, that threesome with Jay Ajayi and a good quarterback would be a scary offense to go to in this league. But they just haven't been able to put it together. So for me, it's more just about controlling that group, staying on top of stuff. It'll feel a little bit like the Raider game, quite frankly, as far as a couple good guys that you really can't let kill you, and a running game that's modest and not too much to worry about. So to me, gameplay will be a little bit similar.
Jay Cutler's in concussion protocol. Adam Gase has given us the indication. If he's good to go physically, he will be the starter. Matt Moore came in relief last week, and Moore had a good second half. Kenny Stills had 180 yards receiving, primarily from Moore, throwing the deep ball. The media down there says that Cutler doesn't challenge defenses enough. He's averaging fewer than 6 yards per pass attempt.
I think from a Patriots perspective, you want to play Jay Cutler.
Exactly.
Mentally, you got to get ready to play Matt Moore. I think Matt Moore is going to be playing on Sunday. I just think, I don't know, he understands their system better. Cutler's there for the money. I thought it was a good pickup at the time because I thought he was, you know, the best thing available for them. You know, when Tannehill goes down, you just can't say, hey, Matt Moore, we want you to be our guy for 16 straight weeks. You got to bring in somebody with a little talent. And Gase had him in Chicago, and he thought maybe this can work here because they got talent on the outside. I love Landry. He's a little bit of a hothead, but he comes to play each and every Sunday.
And Matt, you're not worried about any late hits or cheap shots, but nonetheless, that is a defense that up front has the ability to wreak some havoc.
Cameron Wake, good Lord. This guy is not quite Brady, but he seems like he's been there for 15 years. And he's just year after year after year, he still gets after it. So I know it's easy to talk about Sue, but you got to block Cameron. Think of a stretch this team has had in a row of guys that have had to face. You get Von Miller, you get Mack, you get Wake 3 weeks in a row.
Go back
and
to Houston, Carolina. Yeah, I mean, it's something. Every week you got to block
it. They've seen it, right? And Wake, to be honest, is nowhere. He's no second place to any of these guys. He just doesn't get the shine because he doesn't play a defense that I think always plays to its ability.
Can the Patriots cause Matt Moore to commit some giveaways if he's out there at quarterback trying to force the ball?
Yeah, I think you get out in front, and I think that's what benefits the Patriots' defense. Your ability to get a 7-10, 14-point lead, that changes the way offenses call it, because if you're Miami, you want to come in here, you want to establish a run, you want to shorten the game.
Yes.
Yeah, we talk about that every week, shorten the game, keep the ball away from Brady. You can't come in and run the football if you're down by 15, 20 points.
Exactly.
So you got to get up quick on these guys, and I think that changes. Make the game one-dimensional, put it in Matt Moore's lap, and that's where he's going to turn it over.
All right, back with your predictions coming up next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
All right, back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots-Dolphins Sunday at 1. Scott Zolak, who prevails? Who is the game changer?
Well, after you ate all that turkey this past week and you're not going to have that tryptophan, the Patriots are going to roll in this game. That's their first home game in a while. They're glad to be home. 37-10. Game changer is going to be Deion Lewis. I just think he has established himself as the number one back. A couple rushing touchdowns, maybe even a pass catch. Plus, he made 9 guys miss last week, and that's pretty damn good.
Zoe, we're so close to one another. I'm actually going to go 34-10. I'm kind of with you that this is not going to be a close game. And I'm doubling down. I'm going back to Rob Gronkowski, especially in a week ago where his output was mild in part because they're doubling the hell out of him. I think this week he breaks open when the defense tries to shift their focus to other places.
Matt, so thanks as always.
Good to have you.
Great holiday weekend.
Welcome.
Good to have you back. And for Don Banks and Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Stoce. Hoping you and yours enjoy the rest of this holiday weekend. We'll talk to you next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.
Go shopping.